And tonight on Coast to Coast, kind of our pre-Halloween programs, we're going to talk about witches, the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft. Judica Hill is back with me on Coast to Coast AM, so get ready. I kid you not, the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft that I'm holding by Judica Ellis, 887 pages. Listen to this. That's a pretty big book, Judica. Welcome back. How are you?
Oh, I'm fine and happy to be here. Thank you.
Let's tell folks, of course, you've been a student of the magical arts since you were a child. You love tarot, the runes, the divination, you name it, you're into
it.
You're doing it.
Yeah, all those mystic arts, I love them.
You know, witches have gotten a very bad rap, haven't they?
Yes, for a very long time.
How come? Hollywood?
No, oh no, I think Hollywood in some ways, I think, is better than the old folk stories. Hollywood has kind of, you know, created a better image for witches. Look at Bell, Book, and Candle. You have a glorious, glamorous, romantic witch. You know, there are, you know, some pretty awful depictions, but it goes back much farther. You know, even, you know, back to ancient Rome. The Romans were not a witch-friendly culture. I think, you know, in my opinion, and there are certainly many other opinions, and 887 pages, I try to show different opinions and then look at it from different perspectives. But I think it's about obedience. I think that when societies become authoritarian, I think especially independent, disobedient women get a bad rap.
Yeah, they do. Well, of course, now look at the Salem witch trial there.
Yeah.
I think religion has a lot to do with pinpointing witches as being devil worshippers.
Yeah. Yeah, you know, and a lot of it is greed. You know, it's one of the forgotten causes. It's the property disputes. When people were convicted of witchcraft, they lost their property. The very, you know, for those who have been to the wax museum or the different exhibitions at Salem Village, one of the most dramatic parts is Giles Corey, who is the only person in North America, in the United States, who was killed by pressing, which he should not have been. It was already illegal in the British Isles. But he was accused of being a witch and asked, you know, are you not a witch? And he refused to plead. He refused to plead either innocent or guilty because he wanted to retain his property for his children.
Huh.
And they tried to force him to plead one way or the other by putting weights on him. And, of course, you know, it's very dramatic, Giles Corey's last words, more weight. And he would just keep insisting that they put more weight until he died. But his family did indeed retain that property.
I think as we were kids, we were kind of pushed into thinking witches were evil, Hansel and Gretel. Of course, the Wicked Witch of the West, of course, Frank Baum's book that was turned into the Wizard of Oz movie.
Who dies in all those stories? It's the witch.
It's the witch.
Yeah, I mean, if you look at it from another perspective,
who is
the one who actually does die?
But witchcraft today, is it Wicca? Or
Wicca
is it something else?
A branch of that larger witchcraft community. It's very confusing because people use the word witch and the word Wicca in different ways.
You're right.
You know, I find that a lot of people use Wicca when they think witch is an insulting word,
let me face it. Somebody comes up to you. Some woman is out there, and you go up to her and say, "You're a witch." That doesn't sound too complimentary, does it?
Well, I don't know. You could say, "Why, thank you." Look at that beautiful Frank Sinatra song. I love that song.
That is a great song.
It's a great song. It depends. It depends who says it. It depends in what context. You know, to be bewitching, you know, to be beautiful and seductive. Although even that is potentially people are afraid of you.
Are you a witch?
Are you enchanting them? Yeah. Am I falling in love with you? You know, is it for me or are you doing this to me? Are you making me fall in love?
You're falling in love with me?
Me? Well, in general, you know,
Are you
it's
a
that
witch?
clear. It depends by whose definition. I'm not a Wiccan. I don't eat babies. I'm not a devil worshiper. So I'm always, you know, I always ask, what do you mean? Am I an independent woman
Do you dress up as a witch?
I don't think I'm dressing up.
I mean, they wear black
Yeah,
and
always. But I
pointed
mean, I'm from
hats.
New York. We wear black all the time anyway.
Do you go to witch parties?
I will be going to a witch's ball this Halloween.
See? I knew it.
Yeah.
Where's that held?
And this one will be, there are witches' balls all over the country now, which is sort of a nice thing.
They are.
This one, yeah, it's a big party. This one is one of the smaller ones. The big ones are in New Orleans and in Salem. This will be in Hudson, Massachusetts, and it's actually a benefit for a cat charity.
Now, oh, how many people? That's nice. How many?
I don't know. I've never
Probably a
been there.
black
I've been to
cat.
the one in Salem. Yeah. So that's, I think, a good thing for a witch's ball. We're going to raise some money for a cat rescue in Massachusetts.
What is it about Halloween and witches that seem to just go together?
The old belief is that at this time of the year, and in ancient belief, the belief is that there are parallel realms. Here we are in the world of the living, but simultaneously there is a world where the dead live, and a world where the spirits live, and a world where the ghosts are supposed to be. And it's they're parallel, like a catering hall with different rooms, different parties going on in different parts of this huge hall, this huge universe. And during this time of year, the veil, the barriers between these worlds become very permeable. And so it's the best time to have dream visitations of your loved ones or pay tribute, the Day of the Dead, which comes right after Halloween, pay tribute to those we love and have lost. It's considered one of the best times for any kind of spell casting, any of those divination, mystical arts, any of that sort of thing. So it's very seasonal. It's actually longer than people anticipate. People think it's Halloween, if you have a migraine and you can't do anything Halloween, you've lost your chance. But the traditional belief is it goes through after Christmas into January. So it's a much longer, it's
Well, I
those
also will say
14
that
months.
television with the TV show Bewitched with
Yeah.
Elizabeth Montgomery really made that different
Yeah.
and fun. You know, they
I
took
think
the
that was the
stigma
first,
away.
yeah. The first time people really reassessed what it was to be a witch.
Yeah.
And you could wake up and be married to a witch and maybe it wouldn't be that terrible.
She had a cute little wiggly nose and did her
Yeah.
thing. Now, her mother, I think, played by Agnes Moorehead, I think.
Yes.
That was a
Yes.
witch.
The older I get, the more I appreciate Andorra.
Yeah.
And I was a child when it was on the first time, so I remember watching it
So
as a child.
what's a warlock?
A matter of debate. A warlock is a word that is used to define a male witch, but it is a controversial word.
Why?
There are some etymology. Some people believe that it comes from a Scottish term for oath breaker, and they are offended by it. Although, if the oath was broken, it was for someone who professed to be a Christian, but was really secretly stayed a witch. So the oath broken was not to the witchcraft community, it was to the church. The other theory is it comes from a Nordic word for guardian. And the warlocks are the guardians, the magical guardians of a community. And the word in recent years has had a resurgence. For a long time, it was a fighting word. You called somebody a warlock, and they might hate you.
The Witches of East End. That seems to be
Yeah.
popular these days.
The Witches of East End, the American Horror Coven, that's another one.
Why is it? Why are they so popular?
Witches are fun.
Especially amongst young people.
It is that power, that willingness to use power, that inner defiance, and they're fun. They're rule breakers. Witches are independent thinkers. I remember watching Andorra when I was small, and she was, the classic mother-in-law joke, but as I get older, I really do appreciate her. You know, she's really a free thinker. She says what she thinks, and she loves her family. You know, she loves her daughter. It's a very blended personification. You know, she's not a wicked witch. She's the one, you know, when there's a problem, they call mother, you know, come and help us. It's that fun, witches, and that willingness, I think, to be yourself.
We had a fun witch named Evelyn Paglini who passed away.
She
was a great person. And
she was fun.
Fiona Horn, she's still going strong. Yeah. We think the world of her.
She and I will both be at Hexfest in next August in New Orleans.
Hexfest?
Hexfest. It will be the Woodstock of witchcraft. And I know I will be presenting two classes. I believe Fiona Horn will also be leading a workshop. It is a weekend in August. I can't off the top of my head tell you which weekend. It's on my website. But it is 3 days with a riverboat cruise of classes and workshops and a celebration of witchcraft.
That's amazing.
And the Crescent
That's
City.
That's exciting. Now, witches give spells, because I remember Evelyn Paglini would tell us that she gives spells, always good ones, of course, with candles and everything else. Is that all part of it?
Yeah. For a lot of, you know, speaking about Wicca, I mean, Wicca is a religion. Technically, it is a religion. And I do know...
Which believes in God, by the way.
A male and a female God.
That's right.
Yes, the Lord and the Lady. And it's a very ethical religion. You know, you're not supposed to harm anyone. That's the primary tenet. You know, do what you will, but harm none. But I do know Wiccans who do not cast spells. So it's a complicated, you know, what witchcraft is. I describe it as a hall of mirrors. Everything you think it might be, it is, but it isn't. So there are people who consider themselves witches and do not cast spells. But yeah, I think, I mean, my definition, I'm a practical person. And for me, it's all about that spellcraft.
So would you ever give a, well, there's a difference between spells and curses, right? Are spells good or bad?
Magical spells are intended to make your life better. They are intended to harness the energies, the inherent energies of nature, of the different, you know, everything radiates a sort of energy or power, and it's an attempt to harness those to create a better life for oneself. So, yes, it is intended for good. Now, the caveat to that is that angry people do angry things. It's not the power.
Right.
You know, angry, resentful, jealous people are people to avoid, if you can, and to watch out if you can.
Uh-huh. Haters.
Those are people. Yeah. I mean, and you don't have to. A lot of spell casting is really innate. You know, cursing. You don't really know how to. You don't have to really know how to curse to do it.
What makes it work?
Energy. It is that directed bolt of energy. You know, in the old countries, they would call it the evil eye. And the evil eye, sometimes, it just shoots out of people. You know, the advice for avoiding the evil eye. And the evil eye is anti-fertility, anti-growth. You know, your bank account shrinks. You can't have children. You have illness. You know, instead of progressing, you regress. One of the primary ways of avoiding it is not to brag. Because there you are, for instance, standing in line in the supermarket, complaining about how many children you have and, you know, God, they keep you up at night, how terrible this is. And in front of you online is a woman who can't have children. And she's listening to what you're saying.
Yeah.
And you're complaining about what she would, you know, kill to have. And that bolt of, you know, that bolt of anger that comes out and is directed towards someone intentionally or unintentionally. Now, a curse is when you do it intentionally.
Give us a little historical overview of witches.
I think that witches are vestiges of the oldest spiritual traditions on earth. There are witches all over the world. Wherever you go, there is a concept, whether people approve of it or not, whether, you know, they think it's a good thing or a negative thing, you will find this person of power, this person who knows how to manipulate those secrets of the earth, the plants and the crystals and the minerals. And the theory is this goes back to those first migrations of people spreading out over earth and learning to live in their new homes. You know, you come into a territory where you've never been. Imagine thousands and thousands of years ago, you have to figure out, you know, what's safe to eat. Where am I going to find water? You know, water witching, literally with the dousing sticks. Witches were the leaders of those communities, very closely related to shamanism. Witchcraft is very practical. There are shamanic witches, and shamanism is that ability to travel back and forth between those realms, the realms of the spirits, the realms of the fairies, the realms of the dead, being able to go back and forth and communicate. And some witches do that. Others are much more just practical, just, you know, focused on the things of the earth. And as life became more organized, as cities developed, as there were rulers, as there were rulers who expected obedience from people, these free thinkers, especially sort of unattached women who didn't have, you know, husbands and brothers and sons to tell them what to do, were, I think, perceived as a liability and began to develop a bad reputation.
Are witches born or created?
Both. It's something you can learn. You know, it's a skill. It's easier than ever now. Tons of books. You can go to any bookstore and go on the internet. You don't even have to buy books. You can find plenty of information. But then, you know, you look at someone like me. I learned how to read very early.
Were you by yourself as a witch when you were younger, or were you in a group, a coven?
I am a solitary person by nature. I could not write my books if I wasn't.
Yeah.
I am willing to sit in a room by myself.
For hours and hours.
Yeah. Yeah. But, I mean, you know, people ask, you know, why? Why did you start this? And, you know, it touched my soul. Why? Why does, you know, any child, why do they become interested in anything?
What would the church, what would a priest say about witches?
It depends on the priest. You know, people surprise you sometimes. Officially, they would disapprove. Officially, most religions have different aspects of witchcraft that they disapprove of. I have another book on spells, 5,000 Spells. It's called The Encyclopedia of 5,000 Spells, and it actually describes the differences between various religions, what they disapprove of. Some, you know, Islam is absolutely disapproves of any sort of magical practice. Judaism is okay with amulets or certain sorts of magic, but not folk magic. They're very disapproving of folk magic. Christianity, meanwhile, tends to be, in its more tolerant eras, has been okay with folk magic because it has been understood that it's not really magic. It's just properties of the earth that some people understand better than others.
Hold on, Judica. We're going to come back, talk more about the Encyclopedia of Witchcraft right here on Coast to Coast AM. And next hour, we'll take your questions about witchcraft. But I've got more to talk with Judica about when we roll right back on Coast to Coast AM. Welcome back with Judica Ellis. Judica, what are demon witches?
Oh, demon witches. There is a belief, a very old-fashioned belief that witches are either under the spell of Satan and have become partly demon, or maybe they're intrinsically, though, you know, they're just born that way. But this sort of, they're like living people but who are kind of demonic. You'll see that on TV a lot. A lot of supernatural TV shows where the witches have glowy eyes and, you know, they levitate, they have special powers, things like that. Scary, you know, scary witches to scare children.
Can they hurt people?
Oh, yeah, in the stories, of course. And you know, I have not met one. You know, I don't know that that is something that is realistic. It is not when you meet people and they describe themselves as witches, I don't think that is, if there is such a thing, that is not a human being.
You've got some favorite spells. Why don't
I
you
do.
Tell us a few?
Oh, my God. I think the easiest, you know, the simple spells, and I do enjoy these very elaborate spells with many steps, but they take a lot of preparation. I appreciate the simple ones. And the simplest spell is a simple candle magic spell. You can always use a white candle. You can use other kinds of candles, but if you don't have them at home and you have an emergency, grab a white candle. I like the size that fits into your hand.
Can't go wrong with a white candle, right?
No, white, because it's like a blank canvas. You can project anything onto it. As opposed to colors tend to evoke strong reactions. You know, money spells, people like green. Love spells, often people want pink or red. But if you don't have those, with a white candle, you can just project onto that. And you hold that candle in your hands. If you have small hands, use both hands. Traditionally, people will use the left hand, not because it's a sinister, evil hand, but because it's a hand that is believed to be, there used to be a belief, an unscientific belief, that there was a special vein going up the left arm to your heart. So it was, you were very closely connected to your desires. And you hold that candle and you think about what you want to accomplish. And the key is to see your spell accomplished. So let's just say you need money. You see yourself with the money. You don't see your lack. You see what you are expecting to receive. It's almost like brainwashing the universe a little bit. And it's hard. It's a hard thing to do. If you don't feel loved and you want to have love, to see yourself in someone's arms, it's painful. To see yourself with the baby you can't have, to see yourself with the, you know, the bank account with all those zeros at the end of the number. But you have to see yourself successful. You have to really visualize that. And when you do that, light the candle and let it go.
Just let it go.
Let it go into the atmosphere. Yeah. Because the belief is that nothing, you know, nothing ever actually disappears. So where does the candle go? You know, when you burn it down, it vanishes.
Yeah.
The belief is that the candle, the smoke, it carries your desires up to the powers that be. And somehow can change the course of faith, can change the way it seems to be going. And then, of course, you can elaborate on it, and you can make it more sophisticated. And you can, you know, as you get, you know, more knowledgeable, you can add oils and colors and all sorts of things to it. But at its most basic, you know, and often the most effective spell is an emergency spell. Grab what you've got, you know. So I always have a stock of kind of, you know, mid-sized candles. And I lived in California for many years. I don't leave candles burning unattended.
No, you can't. You never know.
No.
It just takes one to fall over.
Yeah, no, I live right by the epicenter, so I do not leave candles burning unattended.
Wow, that's a good point, too.
So, you know, every time, but when you put it out, don't be afraid to put it out. When you relight it, go through that visualization again. Keep it fresh. Do it again. If you're not sure you did it right the first time, do it again and you know, tweak it a little bit. Make it better. And if it doesn't work the first time, don't give up. People are very quick to throw away a whole system. And the comparison I always give are painkillers. You know, you have a headache. You take an aspirin. You still have a headache. What are you going to do? Reject all pharmaceuticals because that one aspirin didn't work? You go and you try a different brand. Or you try a different remedy. You know, you get some peppermint oil. You try something else. Because you don't want to just sit there with your headache. You don't want to sit in your misery. And that is the point of witchcraft. And I think the key to why witches have a bad reputation is that they are not willing to sit in misery. They want to fix it. And so if that spell didn't work, try another one. Sometimes we have to experiment a little bit.
And what do you do the spells for specifically, Judica? What do you want?
I think the most popular demands are love, money, protection.
Love, money, protection.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. And then you have variations. You know, people want children. That's always an ancient one. People want to communicate with their dead relatives. That's you know, there's a loved one who's lost, and we would like to have, you know, we would like to say something to them. That's, you know, they're all pretty universal. People around the world, it's, you know, witchcraft and spellcasting brings it down to the primordial human, you know, the primordial human desires, what everybody has in common. And we want love. We want to have a roof over our head. We want to not worry about money. We, you know, those are real basic. We want to have health. And that is also.
And by doing the spell, though, again, is there that power on the outside or is it within you?
Both. I think it's a combination. It's taking, finding your will to survive. And a lot of you read a lot of old metaphysical texts, they talk a lot about the will. You know, power of positive thinking, finding that will within you, combined with the energies that are outside you. And together, forging the kind of a life that you want for yourself. And not being willing to sort of just accept what fate has handed to you. Because we're not all born equal. We don't all have equal opportunities. We don't all have equal looks, equal bank accounts, equal, you know, some people have wonderful parents who love them. Some people don't. Some people have challenges when they're very young that other people don't have. And it's an attempt to create a life for yourself that you're happy with.
What kind of tools do you have on hand?
You know, and this honestly, there are spells that involve nothing but words. There are all kinds of word charms. A lot of nursery rhymes. You know, wishing upon a star, blowing out, making a wish, and blowing out birthday candles. Those all derive from magic spells, although they've lost their associations. The word spells are hard. Because you're not using anything but your own power. All the other things, the candles and the herbs and the little charm bags, all in getting into very complex rituals where you actually have to create a whole room with, you know, it's not a candle spell with one candle. You've got 20 candles with different colors and different arrangements. You can get very complicated. But those are all props to help you. Those are all things to make it easier for you. If you don't have those things, you can still cast a spell. You can still just focus your mind. A lot of it is just visualization. Here's a spell. It sounds easy, but it's not. If you want to communicate with someone, and it should be someone who you know.
What do you mean? What do you mean communicate with someone?
Literally communicate. I used to do this with a friend of mine. We would get each other to call on the phone if we needed to be interrupted. Let's just say you're at work and you need an interruption. What I would do is I would visualize her in front of me. And you have to see the whole person in clothes, you know, head to toe, which is not that easy because, you know, you see their face and you'll start to lose their arms or legs. But if you can see that person in front of you as if they were standing there, somehow it sends a message. We had a pretty good track record. I would know. I would feel her. I would kind of know she was calling me and, you know, saying, you know, call me up, and I would get the phone. I mean, this is, you know, going back some years when before the internet we would call each other up on the telephone. Mm-hmm. And I would, and, you know, oh, you know, thank God you called me because, you know, I was stuck with something and I needed somebody to call me. And we would do that for each other. And it was a good thing to have as a buddy system. Just in case you were ever in an emergency and you need someone to check in on you, you need to do that with a partner, somebody who you already have a connection with. It's not going to work with a stranger, because even if they think of you, even if they think, oh, yes, there is that person in the coffee shop in the red coat, they don't know how to call you. They don't know how to contact you. So you need an actual, this is not for summoning someone who you have never met or who you would like to meet. This is for your BFF, who, when they think of you, will act on that impulse. But it worked really well. If when you get it to work, it works well.
And when it doesn't?
Well, then nothing happens.
It doesn't backfire on you or anything?
Yeah, no. What happens is absolutely nothing. What happens with most spells that don't work is nothing.
What about...
Go ahead, I'm sorry.
Oh, no, you go ahead.
I was going to say, the problem with spells, it's not that they backfire. It's that often one spell, it doesn't stop with one spell. One spell may create the need for another. For example...
Does it get addictive?
It can for some people, yeah.
More spells, more this, more that.
Yeah, I think if you're an addictive personality, it's not about the spells, it's about you. You know, you have to examine what's in you. If you are easily addicted, then sure, this is just one more thing. The problem with spells is that they are not science experiments. It is not a chemistry set. So let's say, the chemistry set, if you follow the rules, A, B, and C, you know exactly what's going to happen and it's finished. With a spell, you do it. And they do work quite often. They don't work every time. And sometimes I can feel it. When you have done it for a while, you can feel it. You'll feel whether, it's like a little click, you can feel whether something has happened or not. But what happens, example, I have spells for garnishing, for getting child support. And these are old. These are going back generations. There are spells for women who have not received support from their partners. But the problem is, after it's done, you may have a partner who's very angry. And often you may need another spell to cool that person down. The results are not always predictable. It works, but maybe not exactly as you intended, or maybe with unforeseen consequences. So it's something that should be done with some forethought and not impulsively.
When you are giving these spells, let's say for a better job,
yeah,
how long does it take to work? I mean, do you keep doing it? Do you do it one time, or how many times?
A lot of people believe that it's one lunar cycle, that if you don't see results in one lunar cycle, you should try something else.
So like 30 days,
yeah,
basically.
Yeah, okay. Full moon to full moon, new moon to new moon. There's a lot of timing of spells with the moon cycles. Example, new moon for when you want something to come into your life. A lot of people will, a job spell for the new moon. So if by the next new moon, nothing has happened, then maybe you would want to try something else. Sometimes a spell needs repeating. Sometimes spells don't work because we're not asking for the right thing. Sometimes it's a blessing when a spell doesn't work, even if it doesn't seem like it at that moment.
Can it backfire?
I don't think so in the terms of backfire. When people say backfire, they mean like you cast a money spell because you have no money and you want to get money, and the backfire is that you're going to lose all your money. It's like the opposite effect. And not really. Really, the worst thing that will happen with most spells is you are stuck in the same misery that you were to begin with. The money spell didn't work, and so there's no place to backfire. You just don't have money. The love spell didn't work. You're still alone. It's more that you are simply back where you started. You're not necessarily worse off. You're just not better off. It's a natural process. There's a lot of moral judgment. You know, there's a lot of fairy tales, the Wicked Witch, and, you know, this is a bad thing to do. It's a fairly natural process. It is literally found all over the world. It is not the process that is the issue. It is, you know, it's not the spell casting, it's the spell caster. It is, you know, people, what are you asking for, and are you asking for something that is ethical? Are you asking for something that will make the world a better place? Are you, you know, if you are a mean person and you are casting spells on people with bad intent, that is clearly not, that is not a good thing to do. That sort of a spell will backfire because angry people tend to attract
angry people.
Yeah, they attract other angry people. They make other, you know, even people who aren't angry, once you spend time with them, you will be angry. If you believe in spiritual entities, there are those beings that are attracted to people with negative energy. They feed on that energy. So you don't want that sort of, you know, you don't want that sort of thing in your life. But that is not the process. It is what people have done with the process.
How do you handle people who try to debunk witchcraft? Skeptics.
It is not my job to prove anything to anyone. I don't feel the need to debunk. I'm old enough that
you move on.
I have family members who I'm sure think I'm a very foolish person. But that's not, it's not my problem.
Are they witches?
No. Do I have some? Yes. The people I'm thinking of, no.
Ah, but you do have some in the family.
Yes. Yes, I would say I do. Yes.
What was the catalyst for you? What got you into it?
Just love at first sight. I have a sister who is significantly older than me. I was a child when she started college. She went to college in the East Village in New York City, and Weiser's Bookstore was there. And Weiser's Bookstore.
Samuel Weiser. Right?
Samuel Weiser.
I remember those.
First, yes, I miss it all the time. She, one of the first and only metaphysical bookstores in the world, and she would bring stuff, and I was six, so I was home all day. She would come home, and she'd bring home tarot cards and astrology books, and I took everything, you know? I was left alone with it. I just took everything over. I just fell in love with it. But even before that, I have a mother who raised me on fairy tales, and I always loved the witch. You know, I was never scared. I was scared for the witch. Hansel and Gretel, and the Addams Family has a similar quote where, you know, those dreadful children, what have they done to the witch? Huh. That was my reaction. I was worried about the witch. They were going to shove her in an oven and kill her. You know, these terrible children. So it, for whatever reason, that was my reaction. I do not love the Wizard of Oz movies. I like the books.
How come?
The movie.
Just the portrayal?
The witch killing.
Yeah. You don't like that. Okay, stay with us. No? Judica, we're going to come back in a moment and take phone calls. Questions about witchcraft? Maybe a real witch will call in. I'm George Norrie, and we'll be back in a moment on Coast to Coast AM.